The Pathway of a Child of God. When I look back on my life, the most important lesson I've learned is how important it is to stay inside the kingdom. And not just inside, but as close to the center of God's kingdom as possible. I grew up as the middle child in a believing family of 11 children. There was never a dull moment. Mom and Pop, while not perfect, were wonderful, loving parents. The most important thing they taught us was the gospel and how precious living faith is. Our schools usually had only a few believing children in each grade. I was the only believing child in my grade. This made it easier for the enemy of souls to tempt me in small ways. "No one will know," it whispered. In my teenage years, I began to rebel. I spent time after school with unbelieving friends and smoked cigarettes, which was against my parents' wishes. I soon had one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I was walking on the edge, not letting my light shine to others. I lived this way for a few years. Sin built on my conscience and weighed me down. I felt like a hypocrite, and I couldn't find the strength to confess my sins. One day, I finally decided it would be easier to deny my faith and immerse myself in worldly pleasure. The years I spent in the world are a blur to me. However, I remember some events with crystal clarity, particularly the close brushes I had with death. 2 times police officers told me that they didn't know I survived accidents in which the car was totaled. Once, for example, the car I was driving in more than 60 miles per hour. I passed out when the car hit a curb, went airborne, and struck a telephone pole. I had numerous other close calls in cars, such as nearly falling asleep at the wheel, driving home from a party, or going off the road at night and coming to a stop just before a 40-foot drop. One time, someone tried to choke me to death over a misunderstanding. Another time, a person under the influence of drugs pointed a shotgun at my head from 12 inches away. He yelled at me, wanting to know who I was and why I was there. At that moment, I didn't have time to get scared because I was upset he didn't recognize me in his drug-addled haze. Fortunately, his roommate talked him down from his agitation. He put the gun away and realized what a huge mistake he nearly made. All these times when I could have died or been killed, but survived, finally led me to believe that God had other plans for me than to die drunk and in unbelief. I recall my mom talking about people that had strayed into worldly paths and left faith. Each person had his or her own rock bottom, the lowest point to which he or she will sink before rising from the depths. This was true for me. On many lonely nights, in a haze, I promised myself I'd give up riotous living and straighten out my life. Things always looked different in the morning, and the tempter would again whisper, "See? This is fun. It's a good time." Off I would go again down the road to perdition. A few years later, after a nearly fatal car accident, I was off work with an injured neck. I was at my apartment trying to recuperate, but my so-called friends kept coming over to party. One night I was alone, relaxing on the couch, when my roommate and 2 friends arrived in an advanced state of inebriation. They wanted me to go partying with them. When I declined, they said, "Okay, we'll just party here." I was doing my best to ignore their drunken antics, when one of them decided they should start throwing a kitchen knife at the bathroom door. I told them it wasn't a good idea, but they began throwing the knife at the door anyway. It stuck in the bathroom door about 1 time out of 10. I became angrier with the men's actions by the minute. I decided to wait until the knife stuck again and then put an end to their nonsense. When the knife finally stuck again, I got up and grabbed the door. I kicked the hinges loose and threw open the door into the dining room, where it stuck into a sheetrock wall. The men were stunned when I told them, "Now try sticking a knife in it." They were upset and asked why I was such a spoil sport. They decided to go to a party elsewhere, which I thought was a good idea. When they left, they drove their car around the apartment building 3 times, spinning ruts into the grass before they sped off down the road. For some time, I had noticed that my worldly friends weren't actually very good friends. That night, I reached the end of my patience and realized I had no true friends. I knew where I needed to go. The phone call home in the middle of the night was the hardest one I ever made. The receiver was heavy as lead when I picked it up, and the devil was yelling in my ear, "Don't do it." But God gave me strength to dial and ask my mom if I could have a blessing and return home to faith and family. When I heard the blessed words, "Yes, my child, you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood," I cried and cried. The weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. I had times of struggle and temptation since that day, but the Lord has helped and guided me and blessed me richly. Though I am often weak and weary, I try to thank Him daily. He gave me a believing spouse, and together we have many believing children and even more believing grandchildren. We pray that God would thaw our one child's unbelieving heart and help her return to His kingdom. Throughout our struggles, we are blessed to have a loving Heavenly Father who, through grace, guides our footsteps daily. A Bible passage that has comforted me through the years is John chapter 10, verse 26 through 30, in which Jesus tells unbelieving Jews about His flock and how they are not of His sheepfold. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them unto eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one."